That another selection with Sukiro and Sinead from the operatic celebration and benefit for the children of Liberia. I am being musically jocular, but this brings in a serious point because I doubt there's anyone there who can trump my race card. I am a race man. I am aware of the systematic suppression of African culture and of the need for continual rescue, remediation, and revelation of it in a society that is racist. And I'm not feeling no doubt about that. But I also cannot help but wonder if tribal nationalism is the ultimate expression of the magnificence of the African spirit. Whoa. It gets scary out there, doesn't it? Huh? Universal languages means that feelings have to be fully expressed. And I just cannot accept typographic limitations on the vocabulary. That's why I'm in trouble. My name is Robert Knight. I want to tell you, man, it's been rough. How rough was it? Well, my back was better ventilated than Julius Caesar's toga following its final Senate session. But that don't matter, because that's why, you know, that's why we wear black. I'd rather play back and play white than be white, see? Because if I ever lost my hearing, I would be in some sad shape, you know? And there are some beautiful things that others and my predecessor, successor has done in the revelation of music of great depth and culture on the black side. And I honor and respect that. Just don't think that it can be characterized in such narrow terms. This is Pacifica, WBAI New York. My name is Robert Knight. Sound of White from the Man in Black.
Will you wonder why I always dress in black? Why you never see bright colors on my back? My appearance seem to have a somber tone. Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on. I wear black for the poor and the beaten down, living in the hopeless, hungry side of town. Six. dark and lonely hole. For the reckless ones whose bad trips left them cold. I wear the black in mourning for the lives that could have been. Each week we lose 100 fine young men.
This is Earthwatch on WBAI in New York, seeking to avoid a recreation of the days when darkness masqueraded as blackness. There's a lot more to blacktitude than modes of expression. This station is very important, and even those I admire and even adversaries have worked very hard to preserve, protect, and present it. And these small or significant disagreements should not deter one from the preservation of this most important radio station. It will take pain and time to work out needless circumstances that have recently been created. But it is for the station most likely to achieve consciousness, WBAI. And let there be no confusion about the need for universal support of such a place. And lest I be guilty of that of which I accuse others, let me give praise to even some I disagree with for the hard work that they've done in this monstrous marathon. What, maybe 60, three quarters, whatever the potential of the goal was. That means there's a systemic problem, not one just at any given time of the day, about which more to be said elsewhere and at other times. But I think more important than the mode of universal musical expression to induce and cement communities together, that we have to be very careful that we do not project an external policy of tribal nationalism while witnessing the encroachment of a federal policy of de facto economic apartheid. Yes, even here at WBAI. These are the kinds of serious issues we confront and grapple with these days. What does it mean when there are unreasonable limitations and insufficient resistance to federal, you know, tariffs? Are there other ways to approach and address it rather than a hierarchical way? What is the role of privatized entities with superior resources? The governance and protection and program and support of the station are some of the most crucial issues we as a community will ever face. And this is the hottest day of the year in that regard. So It's, really important that we apply more than the usual cogitation to these key matters that affect our very future and ability to continue to communicate. You're listening to Earthwatch on WBAI in New York. I am a chastised and thoughtful Robert Knight tonight. And thinking about things like how best to express a respectful synthesis of multiple cultures. And, it's kind of what I think about it. And I've just been thinking about how to resolve this issue of... What's this? Uh-oh, getting a call on the hotline. Oh, hello. Yes? Uh-huh. Oh, my. It's someone from High Programmatic Direction in Pacifica. It is... My God. It is Lou Hill. What? No. You mean a... After all that. Thanks. Apparently it was a misunderstanding. I apologize for any misstatements. I thought it was about me playing white music. I was wrong. It's just that the admonition to me was much more benign. It was simply that, not that I not play that funky white boy music, but rather that I play that white boy music funky. That I play that white boy, yeah, you know that song, don't you? That I play that white boy music funky. So let's see. Let's see if I can get it right this time. You're listening to Earthwatch on WBAI. Okay. I'm getting down with the team now. I think I know how to do this. Listen carefully. See if I got it right. This is Earthwatch on WBAI New York. Robert Knight, I think I got it now. We'll be back with some important sky watching news. Big eclipse starting at sunset this Saturday. World of Darkness masquerading. This is Earthwatch.
Partirono le rondini dal mio paese freddo e senza sole, cercando primavera di viola, nidi d'amore e di felicità. La mia piccola rondine partì senza lasciarmi un bacio, senza un addio partì. Non ti scordare di me, scordare di me. La vita mia legata a te, c'è sempre un nido nel mio cuore per te. Non ti
Earthwatch on WBAI in New York. My name's Robert Knight, and coming up in a few moments, let's see, we might have some time left for phone calls, but we do have a report due on the major bombardment of planet Earth. Energetic particles expanding the double halos of the auroral zones in the two polar regions. Some as far as central United States, it's reported. Some of the most beautiful ones in Alaska. Proton storms from the sun. and a bit of music about the rain on the roof of the halo of planet Earth, the magnetosphere. There have been nearly a dozen major solar plasma ejections, most of them hitting Earth, disturbing the magnetic field, being simultaneous with much madness, as witnessed here on the ground. We're going to see what that means, as well as a few more details about how to watch the beautiful eclipse coming up this Saturday. We'll be back with Steve Cates, telling us how those protons are like rain on our hot tin magnetic roof.
Summer shower, drying wallet soaks the flowers. Maybe we'll be caught for hours, waiting out the sun. You and me were gabbing away, dreamy conversation, sitting in the hay. Honey, how long was I laughing in the rain? Cause I didn't feel a drop till the thunder brought us to. You and me underneath the roof of tin, pretty comfy feeling how the rain ain't leaking in. Long as it can pour, cause the way it makes you look makes me hope it rains some more.
Waiting out the sun, that's what we have been doing on this planet Earth ever since the last week of October. Like buckshot from a solar shotgun, multiple barrels hitting the Earth. Protons, later electrons, X-rays, and what may be the highest recorded solar eruptions in data history. Steve Cates with the Skywatch Report is with us, and what the hell is happening, Steve?
Well, Robert, it's an amazing segue about one of the most incredible stories, I think, to reach astronomers and everyone who's like us, who loves the sky in a long time. Simply, this is the problem. The sun, as we all know, is supposed to be waning in its solar cycle, and, well, it's been doing anything but that. Some have even called the sun is moving on to a, you know, red giant stage, and that's not true. Here's just a brief recap of what we do know. Starting about a week and a half ago, an incredible array of sunspot groups, which, by the way, I watch fairly regularly with safe solar filters. We may talk in a future program about how to get involved in doing some good solar observing in a safe methodology. But two sunspot groups, sunspot group 486 and sunspot group 484, traversing the sun as they normally do. Now, the sun rotates on its own axis. People should know this. Once every 25 or so days during the equatorial regions, and up to 33 days in the polar regions. Go figure. You would think that an area that takes longer to go around the racetrack would take a longer amount of time, I should simply say, than the poles. But the sun is just nothing like anything we've been talking about. These two groups appear on the face of the sun. They look incredibly dark because sunspots are, because they're cooler. But Robert, what I find totally amazing here is that these two sunspots, it's been predicted that the bigger the groups, the more potential for flares and simply the crossing of these magnetic fields, and boom, it's like two rubber bands that are stretched. You know, they'll both snap, snap at different times, depending on how taut they are. But everything has a breaking point. And to make this sound real simple, the solar magnetic fields literally snap. It's just like a large overload. And it sends this material out toward the Earth. So the sunspot group that we just noticed moving across the disk of the sun...
Number 486, wasn't it?
Yes, and it gave us two or three incredible blasts. I'm not even including the one that just happened on the 4th. And it's amazing. I've gotten reports from people who visually observe the sun and even noticed a brightening of the photosphere. That's the regular sun that you don't want to stare at in their safe-to-view telescopes. Now, that alone is incredible. The last time that a visual solar flare was actually reported, and this is probably one of the most historic events, was back on September the 1st, 1859, when the great astronomer, member of the Royal Astronomical Society in London, Richard Carrington, observed one of the most incredible solar events, still probably even bigger than the one that happened on the 4th. But simply, as we watch these groups progress across the sun and move across the sun, they send these coronal mass ejections, large, ascending columns of gas. I mean, the one on the 4th was just so incredibly big and so incredibly bright, it just defies imagination. I'm going to refer people to our website, drsky.com, of course, because right on the front page, if you haven't seen it, folks, is a whole analysis of this whole thing about the sun. And there's an interesting photograph that was taken by a friend of mine who simply had this. He photographed this large sunspot group, 484 and 486, and just to show you the size of the Earth is dwarfed by this sunspot group. So simply looking to the north, and I know many observers throughout the New York area last week were seeing simply the northern lights. Something quite fascinating, even down here in Arizona. And Robert, to try to stick with the clock here, I know, you know, in our abbreviated edition, I did want to move on. And folks, as if you didn't hear this already,
Steve, before you do, you are waxing much like the solar energy, so profound. Please complete your point naturally.
No, thank you. I just wanted to stay within the allotted time, but what I was saying in closing...
We're throwing the clock out the window, so go ahead.
Oh, no problem. I love that. But the trouble with the sun is really nobody knows why this is happening. I mean, this defies basically all the rules of astrophysics as far as the solar events. Now, remember, folks, we've observed the sun for a few hundred years, accurate observations since about 1850, meaning accurate visual observations. There were some spurious observations before that. But in the time with diligence and a fever, now with the SOHO spacecraft, all this doesn't make sense. Why is the sun on its waning cycle, well into, I might add, of the 11-year sunspot max? Why are we seeing these incredible surges? Why are we seeing this like freight trains coming down the main line, one after another? And I predict that sunspot group is not going to just simply disappear because it rotates out of view. We've seen on numerous occasions the same sunspot group moves to the, quote, this almost sounds ridiculous, the backside or the dark side of the sun, if there were such a thing, on the same limb that it started off again. So within the next week and a half, don't be surprised if once again the interesting sunspot group 486 and 484 pop again onto the sun, and maybe more in between. But Robert, there's a major total lunar eclipse going on this Saturday night for many observers. And just to recap some of the times, it's the best event, I think, of the week. If you take the sun out of the equation. But even the moon eclipse is a hard act to follow because the sun act is still the big one. But here it is, folks. The moon enters the outer shadow of the Earth called the penumbra at 5:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday. The first visible shading, that is some of this penumbra, which is the outer shadow, may be visible at around 5:55 local time. Don't get too excited, because if you don't see anything around that time, hardly anybody does anyway. I don't even know why they report penumbral sightings. I've been watching eclipses like many of you for 20, 30 years, and I can hardly remember any, you know, penumbral eclipse being of any kind of thrill, hardly able to be seen at all. So the first partial eclipse phases begin at 6:32 Eastern Standard Time, and then things start to get interesting. We start to see the moon really get a bite as it moves into the Earth's umbra. And the continuation of the timing is this. At 8:06 p.m., we will see the total eclipse begin, and this is a very short one, only some 25 minutes. The total eclipse ends at 8:31 p.m., local time, Eastern Standard Time. And the whole partial phases end by about 10:04. So the look is most definitely during the early phases. And you're lucky, folks, Robert, because here in Arizona, we're going to see a strange eclipse. Not that these aren't strange enough. We're going to watch as if we could see the moon in eclipse upon rising. Literally, a totally eclipsed moon rising over Phoenix, Arizona, and the state of Arizona. Still an interesting challenge, don't you think, to look for in the sky. But there's just so much stuff going on here. But the sun accomplishes or accounts maybe for about 80%, in my opinion, of all the stuff going on. And there's even been reports of the dark mass that's been imaged on the planet Jupiter lately, a strange dark spot reminiscent of a speck that was seen after the famous comet Shoemaker-Levy back in 1994, almost hard to believe a decade ago almost, in July of 2004, it'll celebrate 10 years. But some astronomers are saying that this dark spot is linked on other than solar radiation and the effects of the flares. We don't know that. I've heard crazy stories that the Galileo spacecraft even caused it, but I tend to doubt that. It's anybody's guess. But, Robert, we live in most interesting times when it comes to the skies. And as always, I'm privileged and honored to be able to do this and proud to be able to report here on WBAI with some little smidgen and bits of information on big stuff, bigger than all of us. And it's interesting in closing that the Congress of the United States has been petitioned to spend more money in preparations for the effects of the sun. And the astronomers couldn't have had a better stage in which to do this on, because they were planning on going to the Congress anyway last week. And gee, Robert, they got a first-hand seat to talk about, front seat, about something that's important as something was going on. So let's see if we maybe get some dollars toward helping shield our satellites and protect us in ways that even only the mind can imagine.
Well,
right,
Steve,
now
you've painted a very clear picture between the two major current celestial events. With the lunar eclipse, we are dealing with the force of darkness that is largely upon us these days,
yes,
as well as the force of light.
Amazing.
And the over-emission of it and particles from the sun. And as we leave, I thank you for a fine report. And
thank you.
Summon you to enjoy with me some universal music of an image that you reminded me of back when I was studying Carrington and Parker and the garden hose model of the spinning solar magnetic field.
Sure.
And looking at those pictures of the sun in hydrogen alpha, Lyman, and all that stuff, and looking closely at the photograph and how big, how bleeping huge the sun is. And how, this planet is maybe like a fly on a basketball.
This is true.
And looking at those the granulation of the whirling turbulence of the sun, and thinking about making a landing on the dark side of the sun. And what if you were falling into it? What if you were like a parachutist coming in from a superstratospheric level, looking at the little bunch clouds? A lot like that, except looking at the pictures of the sun, it felt like eternal gravitation and falling and being drawn into this, a ring of fire. Thank you, Steve Cates.
My pleasure. Thank you, Robert.
This is Earthwatch.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. The taste of love is sweet when hearts like ours meet. I fell for you like a child. Oh, but the fire went wild. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Out of this ring comes that atomic rain, those dangerous particles. Remember the space station astronauts and cosmonauts ducked on the backside of the Earth on their way home for a Ukrainian or Russian landing just in the nick of time, because proton storms can do great harm to the biology and to materials. But for the Earth, protected by the tin roof of the magnetosphere, for us, except for the mental disturbances that follow the horizontal oscillation magnetic field as a result of the energetic solar input, except those electromagnetic brains that go simultaneously crazy, you can think of the ejecta from the sun as being like rain, hence this song, Rain.
Don't let the rain come down. Don't let the rain come down.
Don't let the
rain come down. My roof's got a hole in it and I might drown. Oh yes, my roof's got a hole in it and I might drown.
There was a crooked man and he had a crooked smile. Had a crooked sixpence and he walked a crooked mile. Together in a crooked little house.
Don't let the rain come down. Don't let the rain come down. Don't let the rain come down. My roof's got a hole in it and I might drown. Oh yes, my roof's got a hole in it and I might drown.
Well, this crooked little man and his crooked little smile took his crooked sixpence and he walked a crooked mile. Bought some crooked nails and a crooked little bat. Tried to fix his roof with a rat-a-tat-tat-tat.
Don't let the rain come down. Yes, my roof's got a hole in it and I might drown. Now this crooked little man and his crooked cat and mouse, they all live together in a crooked little house. Has a crooked door with a crooked little latch. Has a crooked roof with a crooked little patch.
Don't let the rain come down.
Oh yes, my roof's got a hole in it, I might drown.
the Kingston Trio. This is Earthwatch. Isn't that what Frankie Crocker used to do? Did not Frankie Crocker exercise pan musicology? I'm just wondering. Well, this is Earthwatch here on WBAI New York. I'm Robert Knight so far, and we have a little bit of time left if you have a set of salient thoughts. Lorca Nordway has a new song, and as we prepare for you to make your calls to area code 212-209-2900, we'll hear this new music. We've heard him back when I used to be on Wake Up Call a number of times during a compilation I wanted to do as a premium of the war music that we initiated here with the pan-cultural contributions of our listeners. And one of them is Lorcan Otway. And I find on my desk mailbox here a new song by Lorcan Otway. And the rain is coming down like hell in Iraq, ain't it? This is a song about that. Original composition, maybe the first time played. It is called After the War. This is Earthwatch. 209-2900 is the number.
To me, after the victory, my father came home now to leave no more. My husband came home after the speeches. My brother came home after the war. He joined the army for some security. He joined the army, his past to flee. He joined the army instead of college. After public schooling, nothing else was free. They promised training, they promised schooling. He was given training to shoot a gun. He was sent to war with false dreams of glory. There was fear and pain and scorching sun. Then came the word from the well-prompted leader, from the deck of a warship miles from harm's way. The war was over, our side victorious. The nation cheered the troops that won the day. Then came rebuilding among the ruins, while still guns barked and bombs ripped the air. From where he stood, it seemed the war was raging, while profiteers raced in now to get their share. He saw the labels, and he saw their logos. He saw that Halliburton won the war. For to the victor alone will go the spoils. He began to see who he was fighting for. But for the soldiers, no war had ended. For all his comrades, the the fight was on until the peace fell like a white hot hammer. Then the blackness came and his life was done.
Earthwatch, Lorcan Otway with a Gaelic American lament. Robert Knight. The number is 209-2900 and area code 212. And you're on the air.
Good morning, Robert. How are you?
I don't know. You know something I don't?
Yeah. First off, I just want to say I think you've done a great job of spinning the music tonight. You know, very professional, great segues. You know, you spoke just until the lyrics kicked in. You know, reminded me of 77, you know, back in the 60s. Listen, I have two questions for you. The first is a really stupid one, not being a man of science, but these sunspots, when they hit the Earth, I mean, I'm assuming that it's not actual matter that you can pick up and kind of play with, like depleted uranium or anything like that.
Well, in a way, it is like that, because part of the particles that are ejected, there's two levels, the photonic, which comes in the form of the blinding flashes of X-rays.
Right.
As well as the particulate. And by that I mean the hordes of protons.
Okay.
That come like tiny bullets at high energy, sometimes making the trip of 93 million miles in a matter of hours. This is truly high speed. And there are also helium nuclei, alpha particles, two protons, two neutrons, all clicked together. And depending on the circumstances, these can transfer their energy to other atoms they hit, mm-hmm. creating biological anomalies, severing DNA, creating... You know how an exit wound is bigger bullet-wise
yes,
than an entry? Well, the same thing can happen with materials, with these particles. We here on the surface of Earth are protected because the guidelines of the Earth's magnetic field... These are charged particles, remember, at the helium nuclei, the protons, and the electrons that come along later as well.
All right.
And moving electronic particles create their own magnetic field, and these fields like to kind of communicate and tangle their tendrils with each other, and that's why they enter the Earth at the north and south poles.
Okay.
And they're channeled into a halo where... They bang into local atoms,
all right.
Nitrogen, and temporarily energize them, the oxygen and other things that are in the atmosphere. And when they get over their excitement, they release that energy back in the form of a photon, mm-hmm. causing those lights we call the aurora, Australis and Borealis.
Oh, okay. So this doesn't have anything to do with the thinning of our atmosphere, does it? Global warming, that sort of thing?
No, they're, of course they're related, but not directly.
Okay. Now, my second question is a little more pedestrian, but I have to ask it. Would you let me and the thousands of listeners out there at this moment know exactly what metaphor you used to describe inclusion?
I don't know.
Come on, man. You know, now you're being coy, you know. I'm not going to sleep. I mean, what the hell did you say?
What metaphor? Is it something I said? Did I say
well,
that?
You used those exact words, and I got the distinct impression...
Okay, because I'm not remembering the words.
I got the distinct impression that this is what you got... this is what got you into the situation you're in now.
I was criticized for all I play is American white music.
Oh, I didn't even hear... I don't think I've ever... heard you spin a record before until tonight.
Well, I'm glad you appreciated that attempted element of universality. I got to move.
Yes, of course you do. Have a great night.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
This is Earthwatch, and you're on the air.
I'll be quick. My name is Robert Jr. from Huntington, Long Island, New York.
Great name.
I love your show. Gotta love your show. I wish a lot of more professors, like, I'd like to see you a professor anyway, more professors like you at the colleges and definitely teachers in the schools, because we need a lot of veterans such as you. We need you guys badly. Especially with the current presidential administration.
Well, if you don't let us down, we won't let up.
Fair enough. I'll just hang up after saying this thing. The shadow of a certain former chair of the Pacifica board seems to always linger there, whether she wants it that way or not. It always seems to be there. With those such as you who have been vigilant, and the few and the far in between at the station who seem to stick it out. That's all I can say about that.
I'm hearing you.
God bless you, sir. God bless you.
Well, I'll definitely see you.
I'm not going to just let it go here. Whatever my little two cents are, going to definitely throw it in, saying what the devil is going on. Because I heard on the radio every day you were on assignment, far off, long distance assignment. You were on assignment. You were on assignment. You were on assignment. But then I hear you at night when I know you are there on Earth Watch, and I'm like, how in the world could he be on assignment if he's able to show up, literally show up, at the dead of night?
Well, apparently, it was a mispronunciation. Apparently, I'm on consignment. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
This is Earthwatch, and you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, how you doing, Brother Robert?
I'm doing okay.
Okay, but you know, I wanted to say something in terms, when they speak in reference to the quality of program, meaning that how you perform on the morning show, I think that a lot, much needs to be desired in terms of some of the programs that come on this, on even on the BAI airways. I can cite one example. There was an individual who was a holdover from the Utrecht Lee regime. This gentleman is constantly bashing everybody on
I'm not going to go there. I addressed some things that it was professionally necessary for me to address because of doubt cast upon my professionalism.
Right.
And what I would say to that is sometimes one seems to live in a haunted house.
Right.
And I'll just leave it at that. Time is short.
And even you'd be surprised. I know about two days ago on the morning show, they were talking about Michael Moore in terms of how he was saying a lot of anti-Mumia statements. And it's interesting because I've heard producers even on those airways, say some things that were like anti-Mumia. So like I said before, I mean, if we're going to sit down and point the finger at people and saying that who's doing this, who's doing that, who's not performing up to par, I think that there's some work that needs to be done.
Okay.
On those airways.
I got to go.
And I'll leave it at that.
All right. Let me respond to you. I think that the person I assume you're speaking about, I think he does technically an excellent professional job. And, I mean, I'm saying as a broadcaster, these other issues are to be resolved. But I do sometimes try to give respect because we have to work out what this station is in an enlightened way and in a non-tribalistic way. And I'd like to thank everyone for a really soul-saving spirit of support and mentations in the spirit of cultural inclusion and consciousness expansion. If there's just a few calls left on the line, if everybody can see it in 15 seconds or 20 or so, then we can let everybody have a blurt. Ooh. So if you're ready to blurt, go.
Good afternoon, Brother Robert. How are you?
Okay, I think.
Listen, I sensed...
Say it quick.
Something that is not going on right. I've known you for many years now, and you have never failed to share with us the treasure of your intellectual measure, and you have kept us sometime glued to our radio because of what you gave us, and it inspired inspiration to fight like you fight. But you fight a different kind of fight than we do because you do it all with your mind. I've heard you at podiums exposing our enemies and what they're doing. I think it would be a tragedy as great as the Grand Canyon if you was to somehow disappear from this scene. I would do everything within my power to say, you mean too much to us for any petty differences or grievances that men of intellectual mark, such as yourself and a brother like Bernard White and Don Rojas, of which I know both of these brothers, there must be a way to balance the situation and, damn it, let the work go on. You are helping a lot of us to come to clarity and scholarly particularity in areas our minds have not stretched to that far. And I wouldn't want to see anything to upset the trio of people who can do great for us. And there have to be actions taken to dramatize that. I will be on the picket line and say, no, this is not right. I hope you will be there for us, along with the rest of the other brothers who are making tremendous contributions to our growth in intellect, giving us the inspiration that one day we'll be free. Stay there. Stay your position. Pick up the gauntlet. Face it head on. I'll be waiting and listening to do whatever I have to do to make it real. Having said that, thank you. Good night.
Wow. Well, I get... I'm dumbstruck. I get to hear that and still be alive. What better way for this day to end? And, you know, I'm thinking of one of two songs I could end tonight with. I could have ended the program tonight with Johnny Cash singing I Won't Back Down, or Why Robert Will Never Get Ahead in Life. Or, but you see, in my mind, black and white, I mean, Johnny Cash singing I Won't Back Down is the same damn thing as Lobby Siffre singing Something Inside So Strong. You know what I'm saying? So we got to end up with this. Thank you for listening. R. Knight, R-K-N-I-G-H-T, at WBAI.org. 120 Wall Street.
You wonder why I always dress in black. Why you never see bright colors on my back. And why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on. I wear the